Genesis 40. As we get to here in Genesis 40, we find Joseph. When we left him in Genesis chapter 39, he was in prison. He had been thrown into prison for nothing that he had done wrong. He had been framed and falsely accused and sent to prison. In the book of Psalms, it tells us that Joseph's feet were hurt in fetters. Fetters were chains that they fastened around his ankles with a short chain in between, so he had to kind of walk hobbly around. And that's the way he spent his time in prison. And we learned that Joseph was there for quite some time. And it was a very discouraging time for Joseph. And as we look at this passage here this evening, I want us to focus on his attitude that he had during that time. You know, hope is something that is, we need hope in life. And Joseph could have very easily said, there's just no hope. I was sold by my brothers to Egypt. I became a slave. I worked as a slave. I was faithful. I did what I was supposed to do. I got framed and falsely accused and thrown into prison. And there's no hope of escape. And he could have just said, what's the use? And he could have sat there the rest of his life in the corner of his cell, feeling sorry for himself and feeling like, God, it's just not fair. It's just not fair. And life wasn't being fair to him. And you know, sometimes in our lives we face similar things. Life just isn't always fair. People don't treat us fairly. Things don't go the way we want them to. And in truth, it's not fair. And we need hope. Hope is the opposite of despair. Despair is a sense of losing all hope when all hope is gone. There are millions of African women who face despair over their plight in the hands of the Islamic invaders who rape them and kill them and sell them into as sex slaves. Despair. And there are many who live in poverty and in the ghettos in a condition that seem impossible to ever escape. And they live in despair. There are parents whose hearts have been devastated by wayward children and they live in despair. There are children and women who live in daily abuse and feel like their life is a torture chamber. And they live in despair. And there are people who look at their bank account and feel despair as they realize the growing inability to meet their obligations. Despair. And you know, despair is all around us. And there's things in our lives that we face maybe right now, maybe we'll face in this week, maybe we'll face in the year to come, that just seem to take away all of our hope. I have nothing to live for. Life is being cruel to me. And there's a temptation to say, God, it's your fault. And yet, when we look at Joseph's life, Joseph lived in a situation where we would all agree, if we look at it carefully, that he had little hope. He was away from home. A slave, now thrown into prison. Of all the people in prison, the slaves would have the least chance of ever having any hope of getting out of there alive. And here he is there in prison with fetters on his ankles, hobbling around in prison. And yet, we find here in this chapter that Joseph is an example to us of how to avoid despair. He did not lose hope. And so as we look at that this evening, I want us to notice several of the ways in which he gives us an example here. First of all, Joseph kept busy serving others. Look at the first four verses. In verse number one, it says, and it came to pass that after these things, that the butler of the king of Egypt and the baker had offended their lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was wroth against two of his officers, against the chief of the butlers and the chief of the bakers. And he put them in ward in the house of the captain of the guard into the prison, the place where Joseph was bound. Now let's stop there for a moment. One of the best things you can do when you're reading the Bible is be inquisitive. Ask questions. And you look at this and you say, wait a minute, where were they thrown? Into the house of the captain of the guard. Who was the captain of the guard? That was Potiphar. That's Joseph's master. Remember, he was the captain of the guard. And we said that the word guard there refers to someone who slaughters. And it could be a butcher, but more likely in the context, he was in charge of the criminals of the king. And he was the executioner. And he was taking care of the prisoners. And the prison, evidently, was in the basement of his own house. So down there underneath, under the floors of the house, down in there, there was a dungeon, and that dungeon was the prison. And all of the king's prisoners were thrown into that dungeon, and that's where Joseph was. Can you imagine being in the basement of the house where he had thrived as a servant and worked his way up to the point where Potiphar gave him charge of everything in the house except his wife? And then she lied about him and threw him into prison. And now he's down there in the basement in the dungeon, suffering, bound in chains, suffering in the prison. In verse number 4, it says, and the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them. And he served them, and they continued a season in ward. Now look at that. The captain of the guard charged Joseph with them. Now the captain of the guard, we saw back in chapter 39, and that he, in verse number 1, that the captain of the guard was Potiphar, his old boss, his old master. Now apparently here, Potiphar then charges Joseph with these servants. Joseph, even there in prison, people knew he wasn't guilty, but they couldn't get him back out. He was there in prison, and in suffering in prison with the chains upon his ankles, wobbling around there in prison, and he was charged then to take care of these two king's servants, the butler and the baker that had offended the king. And it says there that Joseph served them. You know, one of the ways that we can keep from being despairing and losing hope is to keep busy serving others. Keep busy serving others. And that's exactly what Joseph did. Idleness leads to self-focus. You know, when we are sitting around and you don't have anything else to do but sit there and think about your problems, things get worse. We need to keep busy. We need to keep busy. And from a human perspective here, life had not been fair to Joseph. There's no question about that. You think about the trials that he'd gone through in life. I mean, he was born to Rachel. That should have been a blessing because he was... Rachel was Jacob's favorite wife, which wasn't a good thing. But he was born to her, and as a result, he is treated with specialty. He is the favored son. He's pampered. He gets all the special things that his other brothers don't get. On the surface, that sounds like a great thing. Every kid likes to be pampered. But in reality, it wasn't good, because then his brothers hated him. And then his brothers ended up selling him into slavery. And he gets into slavery, and he's working for Potiphar, and he's working hard, and he's progressing. And now he's up to the top of the ladder in Potiphar's house. He's in charge of everything. Everything's prospering, and God is blessing. And then he gets lied about by Potiphar's wife, and he gets sent to prison. And now he's down there in prison. But instead of despairing, there in the dungeon, Joseph kept busy. You know, he could have sat in the corner hour after hour, day after day, feeling sorry for himself and having a pity party. And none of us would have blamed him. We would have said, what do you expect? Everything's been bad for him. That's the human way of responding, but Joseph didn't do that. He kept busy serving. Serving the others was a help to Joseph and a blessing to others. The Lord was with Joseph because of his fellowship with the Lord, and I really think that Joseph was one of those guys that was just friendly. You can just tell, you know, that Joseph was one of those that he was bubbling over, he was friendly, he was desired to be a blessing to others, and instead of, you know, complaining and being angry and bitter and revengeful, he stayed sweet and had a right heart. Many times, I know there's been times in my life when I've think, it's just not fair! It's not fair! Look what's happened, that's not fair! But in reality, if we really saw things from God's perspective, we'd get a lot worse than we got. But God doesn't make any mistakes, and Joseph didn't get that way. He stayed sweet, he stayed happy, he stayed cheerful, and God blessed him for this good attitude that he had. And we do not know how long Joseph was in prison. We know that there was 13 years from the time he was sold as a slave until he became the prime minister of Egypt. But during those 13 years, how many of them was he as a slave? How many was he in prison? We don't know. But we do know that he was in prison for at least 2 years. Actually, more than 2 years. We know that he was in there more than 2 years because of what the scriptures tell us. But he had been in there long enough that now he had gained himself a position of being the warden's assistant. You know, here you can imagine that. What an honor. Here he's in prison, and yet the warden there in prison sees, this guy has got some character. He shouldn't be down here. I'm not going to keep him. I'm not going to have to watch him. He's a good guy. He's not causing me any problems. Hey, Joseph, how about helping me out? You go check on all the... I'll give you some duties. You can go check on all these prisoners, and you keep an eye on them, give me a report of how they're doing. You can take their food to them or whatever, all these kind of things. So he's helping. He's been promoted even there in prison. And Joseph served the butler and the baker. And serving others helped him to avoid despair. So the very first thing that we can do when we start feeling down, we start feeling like we're losing hope, there's no hope, I'm getting discouraged, I'm getting frustrated, we need to keep busy serving others. Don't sit back and feel sorry for ourselves and think of only ourselves. We need to serve others. But secondly, Joseph not only served others, but he lived for others. He lived for others. We see in verse number 5 and 6. In verse 5, and they dreamed a dream, both of them, each man his dream in one night. And each man, according to the interpretation of the dream, the butler and the baker, the king of Egypt, which were bound in the prison. So these two guys, the butler and the baker, they both have a dream. And then in verse number 7, and verse 6, and Joseph came into the prison unto them in the morning and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. So you can just see Joseph, he hobbles down there, he's doing his job, and he comes down and says, good morning, guys, how you doing today? Not very good. What's wrong, guys? What's bothering you today? You've been not this down, it's not that bad. It's okay. What's troubling you? We had dreams last night, we can't figure out what our dreams were. There must have been a meaning behind them because they're strange dreams. And so they both tell him their problem. And Joseph here, he is interested in them. He's concerned about them individually. He's not only serving them, he could have come down there and said, all right, guys, come on, get up. Here's your food. Take it. Be on your way. But he didn't. He came in with a good, cheerful attitude. He had a joyful heart. He's down there trying to encourage them, and they're discouraged, and he notices this. So he sees this. You know, Proverbs chapter 17 verse 22 says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. You know, when we have a cheerful heart, we can encourage others. And I'm preaching it myself. You know, I need that. I need to remember. I need to be cheerful, because when I can be cheerful, then I can be an encouragement to others. But when I'm discouraged and down and fretting and complaining that things aren't going good, then it's kind of negative on everybody else. So we need to be encouraging. So a joyful spirit is a blessing. It's like a medicine. And there that bright and early that morning, Joseph's down there and he sees that they're sad. And then he sincerely, genuinely cares about these guys and says, what's wrong? What's troubling you? Why are you feeling down today? And they told him their story there about being having these dreams. And they couldn't figure out what they meant. You know, one of the best tonics for a burdened soul is to take our eyes off of our own troubles and genuinely show empathy for others. Not just serving others, but genuinely caring about others. Putting our hearts in their shoes. You know, Joseph, I think, he saw that they were sad and that troubled him. I mean, he's just another prisoner like they are, but he's trying to cheer them up. And come on, guys, what's wrong? And he saw they were sad, and so he's trying to cheer them up. He's trying to be empathetic toward them, trying to be an encouragement to them. And we can do the same thing to others. You know, there's always somebody around that is worse off than we are. And we can try to be an encouragement to them. We can try to cheer them up and give them some encouragement, or send them a text message, or give them a phone call, or stop to see them, or something to be an encouragement to others. Because we need to genuinely care about others like Joseph did. And Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 4 says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. God says, don't just look at your own self. Look about the needs of the others. Look about how are others feeling. And you know, if we applied this even in our families, instead of thinking about me, you know, what about my family? What about my others in my family? How are you feeling today? Are you doing okay? Oh, you're not feeling well. Oh, what can I do to help? Can I be an encouragement? And we try to be an encouragement, try to be a help to each other. And by doing that, it helps to take the focus off ourselves and our own problems. We need to reach out and try to be a blessing to others. And while we're caring for the needs of others, despair will have a difficult time getting a foothold in our hearts. So Joseph here, first of all, he served others. Secondly, Joseph lived for others. But then thirdly, Joseph stayed close to the Lord during this time. He stayed close to the Lord. Now notice this here, verse number 8. All right, and verse number 8 says, and they said unto him, we have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. And Joseph said unto them, notice these words, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you. What did Joseph just say? He said, don't worry about it, guys. Interpretations belong to God. Now, Joseph was close to God, or he wouldn't have dared say that kind of a thing. First of all, he wouldn't have been thinking about God. You know, the average person that you talk to and you know, tell them your problems or whatever, they're not going to talk about God unless they're cursing God. They're not going to be bringing up God's name. So Joseph's thinking about God. He's close to God. He's walking with God, and he's serving the Lord. And we can see that he's staying close to the Lord. And when he hears that, he says, tell me the interpretations of your dream. All right, now, as we think about this, it's important for us to remember that in Bible days, you know, back in Joseph's day, we mentioned this before, how much Bible did Joseph have? None. He had no Bible at all. So in those days, God would sometimes use dreams to reveal his mind and his thoughts to people. And so these dreams, when they said, well, we had these dreams, we need an interpretation, we would look at that and say, well, yeah, everybody has dreams. You eat too much pizza and you get dreams. You know, so they don't mean anything. But they did often have meanings here. And so Joseph recognized that. He's close to God. And he asked them to give him that information. Now today, why doesn't God use those same kind of things today? Well, we have the Bible. We have the whole Bible. We don't need to get dreams from God to find out what God wanted. All we got to do is get off of our laziness and open the book and find out what God said. So God tells us what he wants right here in the Word. We don't need to have those dreams in order to find out what God says. And so Joseph here, he asked them to tell him the things that had taken place. Now, think with me. Joseph said, tell me, I pray you, your dream. Joseph's going to tell them the meaning of their dream. Now, did Joseph know anything about dreams? Had he had anything like that in his own life? Yeah. That's one of the reasons his brothers hated him. Remember? Joseph had all these dreams of how his brothers were going to bow down to him. Now, did Joseph have an interpretation for those dreams of his youth? No. He didn't know what it was about. Somehow God was saying, your brothers are somehow going to bow down to you. And he's probably thinking, God, how can that be? I'm in prison now. My brothers hated me. They sold me into slavery, and now I'm in prison. How could that possibly be? But in all of that, Joseph believed God still. Even though he didn't understand his own dreams, he said, I know God can help us understand your dreams. Now that's Joseph here was walking with God, or he wouldn't have had those kind of thoughts. And we can see that, but then it's even more clear that he's walking with God and had a close fellowship with God when we see what takes place next. In verse number 9, and the butler told his dream to Joseph and said unto him, in my dream, behold, a vine was before me. And in the vine there were three branches, and it was though it budded, and her blossoms shot forth, and clusters thereof brought forth ripe grapes. Or I know that would, you know, got to be a dream, because he sees there's a branch, and all of a sudden there's buds on it, and then there's clusters on it, and then there's grapes on it. Well, that all happened really fast, all right? But he saw that happening, and And then he said, Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup, and I gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. And Joseph said unto him, this is the interpretation of it. Wow. Now think about it. If someone came to you and said, I just had this crazy dream last night, tell me what it means. We'd say, oh, sorry, I can't tell you what it means. I don't have any idea. You know, we could guess. But Joseph confidently said, this is what it means. Why was he able to say that? Because he was walking with God. Now, can you think of anybody else in the Bible that was presented with a dream and he had to come up with the interpretation of that dream and it was very important that he did? Who was that? What? Daniel. That's right. Daniel. Now, what did Daniel do when he was presented with that situation? Do you remember? He went back to his house and he got along with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and said, guys, we've got to pray and ask God to tell us the interpretation of that dream. We've got to know the dream and the interpretation or we lose our heads. And you can believe it, they were praying that night. They prayed earnestly. And God revealed the dream to Daniel. Daniel was able to go back to the king and say, this is what the dream was and this is what the interpretation was. And the king honored him instead of chopping off his head. Now, did Joseph spend any time? I mean, in the context of it, it almost sounds like the butler says, this is what my dream was. And Joseph immediately says, okay, this is what it means. Now, it's possible that God gave that to Joseph right then and there and immediately revealed it to him. It is possible also, and God doesn't tell us anything of the time span here. It is possible that Joseph said, listen, fellas, I'm going to go back to my cell and I'm going to spend some time praying and I'm going to ask the God of heaven and he'll give me the answer and I'll come back and tell you when I get it. That's a possibility too. God doesn't tell us that. So we don't know whether he got it instantly or whether he got it after some time of prayer. But either way, Joseph was walking with God and able to get the interpretation of his dream. In verse number 12, and Joseph said unto him, this is the interpretation of it, the three branches are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head and restore thee unto thy place, and thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand and after the former manner, and when thou wast his butler. All right, so he says, here's the interpretation. In 3 days, those are the three branches. In 3 days, you're going to get out of here. You're going to go back to serving Pharaoh, and you're going to be squeezing the juice into his cup and taking it into him. Now, remember the butler. The butler's job was to taste the king's drinks before he drank them. Why? Why would that be? Why would he need that? What do you think, Levi? That's right. There's always somebody trying to kill the big shot. All right, so the king's always under threat, and so he's got a butler. Now, if you were the king and you needed a butler that would protect your life, you would want to make sure you chose a butler that you could absolutely trust. Because if that butler was a deceiver, he could kind of fake a drink and then give it to you, and you drink the stuff and you die. And that's not what he wanted. He wanted somebody that was genuine, that it was going to be very trustworthy. So this butler was a very trustworthy man. And he goes back, and sure enough, Joseph gives him this interpretation. But then notice what Joseph does. Well, I'm getting ahead of myself. Let me stop there first. Let's jump to the other guy. So down in verse number 16, it says, and when the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, he said unto Joseph, I also was in my dream, and behold, I had 3 white baskets on my head, and the utmost basket was, there was all manner of baked meats or baked foods for Pharaoh, and the birds did came, and the birds did eat them out of the basket upon my head. And Joseph said unto him, this is the interpretation thereof. The 3 baskets of 3 days. Within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thy head from off thee and shall hang thee on a tree, and the bird shall eat thy flesh from off thee. So he got a bad interpretation. All right, the first guy, he's going back to serve Pharaoh. The second guy, he's going to get hung and the birds are going to eat him. That's a bad dream. All right, so, but both of these Joseph interprets. Now, Joseph does this because God is helping him. God revealed it. Why? Because Joseph was staying close to God. Now, that's an important thing for us to see here. In times of despair, you think back over your life. In times when you felt really down, depressed, discouraged, and almost to the point of despair, were those times that you felt close to God? Probably not. But Joseph stayed close to God. And staying close to God helped keep him from despair. Because that will strengthen us and build us and keep us close to the Lord, and we can have the encouragement that we need. And so, during our trials and burdens and frustrations in life, we need to stay close to God in order to help avoid despair. You know, others around us need our help as well. And he served others. He cared genuinely about others. And now he's helping others and staying close to God so that he can help others. And that's true with us. If you don't stay close to God and someone needs your help, you're not going to be able to help them. You're not going to be able to give them spiritual help and encouragement if you're not walking with God yourself. Same thing with me. We need to stay close to God. Now, then that brings us to the next thing. Joseph never gave up hope. That's very important in order to keep us ourselves from discouragement. He never gave up hope. Look at verse 14. He's talking to the butler again now. And he just interpreted the butler's dream. And he says in verse 14, "But think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. For indeed I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also have I done nothing that they should put me into the dungeon." All right, so what's he saying? He said, "Mr. Butler, listen. You're going to get out of here. In 3 days, you're going to be released. You're going to go back to serving Pharaoh. You're going to be right there in the palace, right with Pharaoh. Almost nobody in the kingdom has a closer access to Pharaoh than you do. You're his right-hand man. You taste his drinks for him. You are there serving him all the time." And he says, "I need you to help me. Would you please tell Pharaoh that I helped you and that I am down here, I've done nothing wrong, and ask Pharaoh to have mercy on me and let me out of here." And so Joseph's thinking, here's my opportunity. Maybe this is what God has prepared. This butler, he's going to be able to go back and rescue me and help me and encourage me. And that's a blessing. And so he's excited about that. And he tells him to go back and remind Pharaoh of this and to get him out of there. And so Joseph, he looked forward to the day of his freedom. You know, Joseph never gave up hope of getting out of there. He, you know, during those times, those years of being a slave, Joseph probably thought, you know, I wonder how God's going to get me out of this situation. God gave me those dreams that somehow my brothers are going to bow to me someday and mom and dad are going to bow to me someday. And how's that all going to work, God? I don't get it. None of that makes any sense. God, somehow you're going to get me out of here. And instead of getting him out of there, he dug him deeper. He's got down in the dungeon now. And Joseph down in the dungeon thinking, God, what are you going to do? How am I going to get out of here? And then here's this opportunity, and Joseph's hope soars. And he thinks, there's my opportunity. I'm going to get out of here. This is awesome. There's a way out. And so he's begging this guy, and Joseph's looking for it. But all this time, Joseph never gave up hope. All right? That's an important thing. In our discouraging times, in the times of our frustration, we never give up hope. We keep saying, I don't know how, but God's going to work it out. It will work out. God will give me grace. God will help me through this. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to get down. I'm not going to get discouraged. I'm not going to lose my mind. I'm going to stay close to God. God's going to help me. And we need to keep near Him and never give up hope. And so he begs the butler to help him. And Joseph then is excited about the possibilities that are lying ahead. Now, unknown to Joseph, God was at work in the background. And in God's perfect timing, God was going to let him get out, but not yet. Not yet. It was not yet God's time. But Joseph never gave up hope. But then the last thing. All right, so we've looked at four things that he did. First of all, he kept busy serving others. Secondly, he lived for others. Thirdly, Joseph stayed close to God. Number four, he never gave up hope. But number five, Joseph waited patiently. He waited patiently on God. We see there in verse number 23, it says, And yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. So verse number 20, I should back up there, give us the context. And it came to pass on the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast unto all of his servants. And he lifted up the head of the chief butler and the chief baker among his servants, and he restored the chief butler to his butlership again, and he gave the cup unto Pharaoh into his hands, and he hanged the chief baker, and as Joseph had interpreted, yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. So the chief butler's back there serving the king. He's happy and he's released. He's out of prison. Whew, saved his neck that time. And he's going to have to be real careful not to offend the king again. And he's cheerful and he's joyful back. The other guy, sorry, he lost his head. He lost his life. He's dead. But this guy's okay. But he forgot all about Joseph. Joseph had very clearly said, please remember me. He forgot all about Joseph. And Joseph sat there, you can just imagine, in Joseph's mind, put yourself in his position. So 3 days, he's out of here, going up, now he's with the king. Any day now, I'm going to get released. Any day now, they're going to call for me and say, sorry, you were wrongly accused, you're out of here. And Joseph excited, day after day he waited, week after week he waited, month after month he waited, year after year he waited. And the scriptures tell us in the next chapter that it was 2 full years he waited. 2 full years before he got relief. And so, Joseph, I can imagine the thoughts in his mind as he's waiting, wondering why. Why so long? Why didn't it work? Why didn't God hear my prayers? Why didn't God cause the butler to get me out of here? Why? Why? His heart was probably breaking. But during that wait, Joseph did not turn against the Lord. And no matter how long we wait, no matter how hard it is and how discouraging it is, we cannot turn from the Lord. We've got to stay close to the Lord. Because in all of this, if Joseph had turned away from the Lord, what would have happened? If he would have turned against the Lord and he turned bitter and hateful toward God, and then at the end of those 2 years, when he did get out of prison and he did get called before Pharaoh, and Pharaoh says, I had this dream, and Joseph had to say, sorry, king, I am not walking with God anymore. I can't give you your answer. I don't know the answer. Back to prison with you. But he didn't. He stayed close to God, and God was there when he was walking with God so that he was ready to answer the king when that day came. Now, that's very important. So we put it all together. You know, if he had given up, if he had gotten discouraged and become depressed and despaired, and he would not have been ready to serve God when God brought him out. So all those 13 years, for those 13 years, from the time he got on that camel going down to Egypt, when his brother sold him and he's bound as a slave and he's headed down to Egypt and he's thinking, what is going on? God, you said somehow my family was going to bow to me and now they've sold me and I'm going to be a slave. And he gets down there and he's bought by Potiphar and he's working in Potiphar's house and trying to do his best, but everything's bad because he's a slave, but God's still blessing him. And then he works his way up and he has a pretty happy life as a slave now because he's in charge of everything in the Potiphar's house and he probably had a lot of freedom then. And then Potiphar's wife lies about him, throws him into prison, and now here he is down there in prison, rotting in prison, and he's lifted up even there. He stayed close to God and he didn't lose heart. He didn't quit and he kept on waiting and kept on being patient. And because of that, when God was ready to call him, Joseph was ready to serve. And folks, that's hard, but we've got to keep that in mind. No matter how difficult, how hard, how frustrating, we've got to stay close to God so that when God's ready to use us in a special way, we're ready to serve. Got to be ready. If we quit and give up, there may be somebody that God wants us to minister to and we won't be able to because we failed to stay close to God. And so I challenge you tonight, I'm challenging my own heart, not to just get discouraged during troubles and burdens, but to work diligently to avoid despair. Stay busy. Invest your life in other people's lives. Worship the Lord and stay close to the Lord. Never give up hope and wait patiently. God will fulfill His will in His good timing. We've got to wait patiently. And so, whatever it may be that may discourage you, Maybe right now you're saying everything's going pretty good, Pastor. That's great. But it won't always be that way. When things start getting you down and you feel discouraged and defeated, you need to remember these things. Remember Joseph. Remember how Joseph responded. Remember how Joseph acted. And how he stayed close to God, and God met his needs and cared for him. And we need to do the same.